pay more attention about our inner value and try to better sort of awareness about mind, about emotion. Sometimes it's useful, let sort of destructive emotion or some certain sort of positive emotion, let develop. Then try to watch. Now, for example, sometimes anger develop. Try to separate one part of mind from separate from that anger. Then watch about anger. It is possible. I also do that sometimes. Not always. Occasionally. So then it seems to see anger is something solid. Once you look, oh, anger there, it's really forceful, very harmful. Immediately, the intensity of anger reduces. That, I think, one way. Then, warm-heartedness. Everybody received, as a human being, we born from our mother. I think 7 billion human beings, each, I think, at the beginning, received maximum affection from each mother. So that seed of warm-heartedness or compassion. Logically, person who very much received others' affection, that person also have the ability to show other affection. I often say telling people, we should keep young age sort of experience. For example, you see the young children, they don't care about others' social background or religious belief or racial sort of things or rich or poor or educated or uneducated. They consider others as a human brother, sister. So long they play together, very happy. And we gradually grown up. Then discrimination or potential or part of human nature then become inactive. With intelligence, aggressiveness also increasing. And also existing sort of environment, too much competition, automatically bring jealousy. And then fear, anger. So therefore, we should pay more attention about our basic human values. I always see stress when I meet people, when I give talk, several thousand or 100,000. I always talk on the level, human level. As soon as I stress, I'm Tibetan, I'm Buddhist, it creates some barrier, some kind of wall. First, fundamental level, we are same human being. Emotionally, mentally, physically, we are same. These sort of training of mind is very much depend on familiarization. Intellectually, just understanding or awareness, not sufficient. These sort of compassionate mind translate in every sort of field, every work, especially like teacher, nurses, or medical field. Whatever possibility, whatever chance, you must sort of do something, help to needy people without expectation of reward or something like that.
There's a system of mind training, I think, in Tibetan Buddhism called Lojong that you yourself use. Could you talk a little bit about that practice?
Training of mind. The Lojong is a particular sort of refer is the think well-being of other rather than oneself and take care others more. For example, 2008, 10th March, as soon as I received sort of information from Lhasa, some Tibetan moving for demonstration, immediately I felt some kind of feeling or experience which I experienced 1959, 10th March. Hopelessness, fear, anxiety, helplessness. At that time, I practiced this exchange, take and give. Here means I visualize those Chinese leaders who are taking sort of decision on the spot. Visualize them and take their anger, their fear, their suspicion to myself. And my own feeling of patience, tolerance, altruism, compassion, these through visualization, give them. That kind of practice we usually call Lojong. Of course, on practical level, no help. But emotional level, immense sorrow, helpful to reduce anxiety, anger, irritation, like that. So that we call Lojong practice, special training. Lojong means, now here we usually refer special training of mind to develop infinite altruism.
Is it impossible to train the mind without meditation?
Yes, up to a certain level, yes. But meditation, there are two kinds of meditation. One, analytical meditation. One, single-pointed meditation. So, single-pointed meditation, without that, we can reach certain level. But analytical meditation, we always do. Even scientist or specialist research certain sort of subject, certain field. Analyze, investigation. That also analytical meditation. And even those people who quite sort of cunning to deceive other people, they also practice of analytical meditation. What is the best way to deceive them? What is the best word to deceive them? This is also analytical meditation.
Could you give us some sense, Your Holiness, of your own spiritual life, your spiritual day, for example?
Since, I think, many years, perhaps 2 decades, I think, my daily life, about 3:30, wake up, and immediately I recite on praise wrote by Nagarjuna. I always recite that and think about Buddha and mainly his message, message of love, message of interdependency. And then I dedicate my body, speech and mind dedicated to other-centered being. Any opportunity, I must serve them. I should not harm them. That's sort of the start of my day. Then some recitation, recite some mantra also. Wash, shower, also using some visualization, the visualization of purification, and also certain mantra. And when eating, a certain sort of practice. Even in the bathroom, some meditation, some sort of practice. So 24 hours, every sort of life, there are some sort of practice. As you mentioned there, I try. Then, as a sort of practitioner of Tantrayana, so visualization, in my sort of tantric practice, visualization, I think every day, at least I think 4 times, death and new life, and the process of death, aids of process, visualization, suppose dissolution, 8 stages, at least 4 times, different deity yoga. Suppose I'm preparing my death. So actual death comes, whether I really remember these things or not, I'm not very sure. But one thing, I'm quite sure, at the moment my death, certainly I remember altruism and some understanding about emptiness. That's I'm quite sure. I always reminds one most favorite of my prayer, that so long space remain, so long sentient being remain, I will remain in order to serve them. That prayer really moving my mind. So at the last sort of breath, I will remember that. And that I think 3:30 up to 8:30 usually for 4 or 5 hours meditation. And also including analytical meditation. Altruism and understanding about emptiness. Remember some verses and think about that verses. That's analytical meditation. And then daily life. Meeting some people, sometimes a little bit harsh word. This morning also, I use some harsh word. Ultimate motivation is correction of their wrongdoing, like that. And of course, breakfast, lunch, each one, you see, we have certain sort of prayer. And I'm non-vegetarian. Actually, in 1965, I become vegetarian. Very strict vegetarian. No meat, no fish, no egg. Next 20 months, I remain that way. Then, hepatitis. The whole my body become yellow. Eyes, nails. So later, I describe, at that time, I truly become living Buddha. Completely yellow. So then, according to the advice from Tibetan physician, as well as the allopathic sort of physician, they both advised me, I should carry my previous diet. So here, I create some contradiction. So then, early evening, around 6, 7, before that, another about 1 hour or half hour, some prayer, some meditation. So that goes 24 hours, every day that way, whether in India, whether it's a touring, visit some different countries, always same.
You mentioned the small prayer by Nagarjuna.
Hmm.
Could you just tell us that?
Kangi tukzi nyesungne tawa tamje pangbechir. Tambechene denzebe kodamtala cha chalos. Roughly translation. Of course, my English vocabulary very, very limited. But essence is something like this. A Buddha or teacher who teach right view in order to remove wrong view out of genuine compassion without selfish interest. So that's the main meaning. So here, his teaching, both views, right views, the interdependency view, and infinite altruism. These two things are my main practice. Perhaps I think in my age, around 15, 16, I developed some interest about practice. Then, eventually, I developed keen interest about emptiness, interdependency. In 20s, I really put some serious sort of analytical meditation, analyze about this sort of view. Then, after I came to India, early 30s, I developed some understanding about emptiness, some feeling. So at that time, I developed some kind of desire to achieve nirvana. I see it as logical way of process. At that time, I really, right from the beginning, I admire the infinite altruism. But I feel it's very far. Marvelous, but difficult. Then my age, late 30s and the beginning 40s, the Shantadeva's using book, I received oral transmission from one very great Lama, very simple Buddhist practitioner. I received teaching from him. Then I constantly, you see, read that and contemplate. Oh, very effective. That really gradually, you see, changed my mind. The infinite altruism is something near now. And very powerful. That really gives me hope, really gives me inner strength, self-confidence, and all different barrier removed. Wonderful, wonderful. Still, I never claim I already have this real experience. But I feel if I have sort of enough sort of time, enough practice, I have now conviction I can develop within this lifetime. But not Buddhahood, not Nirvana, but real sound foundation of Buddhahood. So perhaps I already start the long journey of my final destination. So meantime, whenever I give teaching, whenever I give talk, importance of love, compassion, because I fully convinced that.
Your Holiness, thank you so much.
Okay.